It's 10 past 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Thursday morning, and as usual, we are joined on the line by our guest, Brother Idris Khamisa. Idris, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My most beloved Mawlana, I pray that the last week was a good week and you miss me.
Yes, definitely. Very busy week, but definitely missed you a lot, Idris Bhai. Although it was holidays, but we were preparing for a family get-together. And alhamdulillah, that worked out very, very well for everyone. And alhamdulillah, it was a means of creating a good bond between distant relatives.
No, that's a very good thing. You know, I'm so glad to hear that sometimes in our lives we lead very insular lives. It's you, your wife, you know, your kids. And even that, we have issues with that. But we do not interact with our uncles, aunts, siblings. And it's so important to keep the muhabba, you know, because, life is too short. We get so busy. And alhamdulillah, there are many benefits that accrue from it, that it'd be very sad if children growing up have no idea who their uncle is, aunt, and so on and so forth. We are living at that particular time. So inshallah, Allah protect us. And alhamdulillah, I'm so glad you had a good time, Maulana.
Yes, alhamdulillah, shukr. And yes, we were about 130 family men. It was just the men and the boys, and had a weekend of camping and fishing and all of that. And alhamdulillah, it worked out very well. The important thing out of this is that the kids grow up with these memories, and this is what they hold dear to their hearts for the rest of their lives.
No, absolutely, because memories are the only thing we can, you know, hold on to. It's nostalgic. It reminds you about those times that we connected with others that we might not have known but heard of. And may Allah keep this muhabba, because in the end, you know, they say empires are built in the hearts of people, and people get to know who you are and connected to you either biologically or in terms of faith. You know, they pray for you. So alhamdulillah, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes, alhamdulillah, shukr. And Idris Bhai, you've been visiting, traveling, counseling, meeting different people. Perhaps you could share some of those stories with us.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I just got back yesterday from the UK, and I've been to two or three schools, and I also did a presentation. But I'm so glad we're talking about this. And before I forget, after Zohar is the janaza of my father's uncle, Ahmad Jagot. And may Allah grant him the highest status in Jannah, and may Allah make it easy for the families, inshallah. Ameen, ameen. So anyway, I got back yesterday, but there are some things that are taking place, and it's of grave concern. Prime Minister of England made a point that if the madrasas and maktabs and darulums are not going to teach tolerance or whatever, then he has stated that he's going to close his maktabs up, you know. And that's a very grave concern. So therefore, I think that alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah make it easy for our institutions, because they are indeed doing great work. But we must not be perceived to be insular. We've got to make sure that the products of our darulums, our maktabs, and our Muslim schools participate in the civic affairs of the community, that we are not isolationists and so on and so forth, and we not only participate but contribute to the betterment of humanity at large. And so inshallah, Allah make it easy for our brothers and sisters in the UK. So that was something, and I met individuals there who spoke about it, and they're very, very concerned. And I was getting to understand that the Dewsbury, they went, five people from HMI, this is the highest in terms of inspection, they went there, they visited them. Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad to hear that the individuals outside the Dewsbury, they are supporting them, helping them with their skills. So that also reminds me that, you know, no institution can work in isolation, that we need to embrace the skills of others in the community so that what can happen, that we all contribute to the growth and participate in it, because the last thing that must happen, that those that qualify in institutions find it very, very difficult to integrate into the wider society. I'm not saying socializing into it, but integrating so they understand exactly what the needs of humanity are there. So that is of one concern. Right? The second thing, alhamdulillah, we went to a school there in Bolton School. It's called Isa Academy. And at that academy, Abdulaziz Chuan is a friend of mine, shared with us what they are doing. They're doing very, very good work. But long and short of all of these things, I think the important thing about visiting other schools, not only globally but also locally, you realize that, alhamdulillah, there are many things that you can do to improve, that, you know, you can celebrate your successes. But, you know, we sometimes think that, you know, oh, whatever we're doing, we are the very, very best. But you can only make that decision after you do a comparison. You cannot do a comparison if you don't know how others operate, you see. So that is a fundamental thing. So alhamdulillah, so it was a very short visit. And we, alhamdulillah, and I've come back enriched there. And I met lots of young people there that are very excited about the Deen of Islam. People doing the PhD in Islamic studies and showing a lot of concern. But throughout, it's quite clear that the Ummah is almost besieged, it's beleaguered, and I think it's important for us, inshallah, to make sure fundamentally as an individual that your family life is very, very strong. So therefore, it also is of very grave concern to me that the divorces are just being on and on and on and on, and no one seems to be worried about it, you know.
Mm. And these are two major issues, and very interesting, obviously diverse topics, but very, very interesting. It is by coming to the first topic, it intrigues me that we have so much of intellect, so much of resources, so much of abilities within our community, within our society, and if we were to just harness that alone and work with unity, work with a common goal, I think we could achieve great, great heights as an ummah.
No, absolutely, and I'm saying this not so much for self-aggrandizement, but on a very personal, alhamdulillah, we've already done the art of public speaking at Darul Uloom Zakaria, we did it at Darul Uloom in Newcastle, Camperdown, and the one in Chatsworth, and we on Monday we're doing a program at the Sunni Jamiat, Sunni of the Darul Uloom in Pretoria, and also said to them, prepared to also give them any kind of support in terms of child psychology, also counseling techniques. Mm-hmm. So alhamdulillah, they are opening the doors and they're quite receptive to it. And we need to do this quite vigorously, because it's important that we can be enriched by the ulema, and the ulema can also enrich us, alhamdulillah.
Yes. And just by looking at this particular issue, it always requires a single leader or a single organization that is able to identify the different skills and abilities in people and put them to good use. Also, sometimes for people to recognize or to promote themselves is difficult, but if one person identifies those skills, identifies those individuals, and then uses them, it works out better.
No, absolutely, and I think, you know what, and the point that you make is a very pertinent point, that alhamdulillah, we have these skills in our own community, and we need to utilize them, and I think one of the ways of looking at how successful your institution is to speak to the graduates of your institution and to ask them, fine, you're qualified here or you've been to our school. Tell me that when you left our school, did you feel equipped to face the world out there? What skills you think are necessary to be embraced and integrated here so that you can play a far more comprehensive role? And that's very, very important, you know. And I think that's quite fundamental and something that we need to speak about, because more and more people are speaking about these things. More and more people suggest that because we're living in a changing landscape, you know, we're living in a very, very dynamic community, I think it's very, very important for us to understand the diverse needs, to understand that we need to help and support each other. And it's not about scoring points. In the end, it's about the purity of your heart. You know, we must do whatever we can so that we can leave the world a better place, and to make sure we don't do it for name and fame, but you do it because, you know, it's an authentic response to an authentic need. And I think we need to do this. Allah forbid that the situation that obtains in the UK might replicate itself in our own country. And that is a very important point.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, I think in our country we have come quite far in, you know, directing the youth to adopt certain special specialities, to adopt certain career paths and choices that would benefit the Muslim Ummah. And that guidance has been paying off over the years. If you just look at the field of journalism, alhamdulillah, we have many Muslim journalists. If you look at the field of education, there are many teachers. If you look at different fields, there are many in that. Any particular skills or expertise that the Muslims should be focusing on that you think that we are lacking in?
You see, what you're saying is right, but they also are the areas that you suggest in your question. The important thing is this, that, you know, we are not marketing ourselves effectively enough. We need to market ourselves effectively enough so that the wider humanity knows about us and the contribution we are making. I mean, the question to ask ourselves is that if we as a Muslim, as a collective, were to leave South Africa, will we be missed? Will we be missed? Now, that's an important question. I'm not talking about missed as an individual, but as a collective. Will there be a gap? Will they feel that in terms of the different aspects of the life in this country, now they are deficient without us? And that's important. So I think the bottom line is that whatever we pursue it with excellence. There's no place for mediocrity. And the question you asked is, I think we can play a far more important part in terms of, you know, the politics in this country. You can play a far more important part in getting involved. If your children are in the ex-Model C schools or in the other schools, that we need to participate in those affairs. And I think can also get more actively involved, not necessarily a journalist, but responding as consumers of the media and to write letters and so on and so forth. And I think that, you know, we can be far more visible. I think for me, an abiding concern really is something, and I don't say it as if I'm angelic or I'm doing the right thing. I've got a lot of deficiencies myself, and I regard myself as a scum anyway. So the point is that, you know, the whole notion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being as a mercy unto all mankind is something we need to understand in its fullest context. Understand it, apply it, implement it in our relationships with our employees, with our colleagues, and with the society in general. And this is very, very fundamental, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our listeners to call into the program as well. The number to dial 011-854-1548. You can even SMS or WhatsApp on 073-173-8461. And inshallah, we will field your questions and your suggestions. Jizbai, on the other topic that you're speaking about, the issue of divorce, what in particular, there's many issues and many complexities that surround divorce as well. But what in particular is a cause for concern for you?
At the moment, you know, when I speak, and I'm focusing on one aspect here, and it does not necessarily suggest that the other aspects are fine. So the point that I want to focus on is the whole issue, a question that I ask people, as men, are we failing our marriages? Now, you find, this is my concern. My concern is that lots of women are lifting their hands up in frustration. They want to break up the homes after 20, 25 years. And what are we doing wrong, right? What can we do differently? And there are a few things that we are doing wrong. I believe, and I also speak for myself, we do not do enough to communicate with our spouses. We do not do enough to show them love, affection. We do not do enough to be supportive of the role. And on the other extreme, you find there are many men, the growing number rather, I don't want to generalize, this is from my personal experience, that are rude, are insensitive or are vulgar, and so on and so forth. And so the whole idea, the man, he should be a man. He mustn't be emasculated, he's the meat of the home. And the same man, for example, who gives his wife priority over his mother, he's also failing in his marriage. That man who does not do enough, who decides to buy his affection of his wife by buying all the material things, he's also failing in the marriage. And that man who wants to win the heart over through, financial means is also failing in the marriage. And I think what's important is this, that what is right, what is wrong, right? So I think that's fundamental. So there are many, many things that are taking place, and we need to respond properly, immediately, if not sooner, you know.
And in the different aspects that we could maybe put in under different topics when it comes to divorce and talaq, the children and how it affects them is one issue. The spouses and how they deal with it is another issue. Separating the finances is a different issue. There's issues concerning their own assets in terms of their house and possessions, etc. And there's so many different issues, and the emotional part of it as well. And it is rarely and very seldom a mutual agreement, but sometimes or most of the time it would be a very difficult and a traumatic experience for both of them.
No, absolutely. And the whole thing is this, at the best of times, Maulana, and you know this, marriage is an institution. You're going to have your challenges, and you and your wife will not agree on everything, which is understandable. But in the end, sometimes we don't expect our spouses to be our slaves, to be at our beck and call. I think what's required is a reciprocal understanding. We need to understand exactly, what's going on, in our lives, and to understand also that the wife is playing also a critical role in terms of being the mother of the children and looking after the home if she is a full-time, housewife or a mother at home. So I think that's important, and that we need to acknowledge that. And you and I know often, for example, when people don't respond in that particular fashion, and when they lose their spouse, especially when the wife has to die before the husband, then all of us are in a lot of pain. And that's one aspect. The other aspect is this. There is a whole issue now of infidelity. I mean, it's just gone completely out of control. And there's one thing when there's infidelity, and there's another when there's suspicion and mistrust, and when there are allegations made without any foundation. So I think there are a lot of concerns here, and this is the nature of life. We're always going to have concerns. But it scares me. It scares me that potentially that every marriage whilst it has possibilities for happiness, I see it now, not that I'm a negative person, it also has the potentiality for separation. And that is, for me, a very, very great concern. And that's, and what is also, difficult to understand, the kind of impatience, the kind of rudeness, and the kind of things that are stated about the other, where the other person is demonized, humble and humiliated, you know, and that to me is unacceptable, you know.
Mm-hmm. So this is there's many issues, obviously, and this is one of the pertinent and worrying issues. Idrisbay, let's give the listeners a chance to respond. Inshallah Aziz, you can call in on 011-854-1548. You can even WhatsApp on 073-173-8461. Inshallah Aziz, we will take your calls. Let's take a break now and we'll be back just after that. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to our guest, Brother Idris Khamisa. Idris Bhai, when it comes to the different things that are said at the time of divorce and the different negative points of the spouse that are brought up, one thing we need to understand is that it's not necessary to bring up that bad linen or the dirty linen in order to support your own case. Like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَزْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. If your intention is to keep your spouse, then keep them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you make a very important point. Sometimes I wonder, those that bad mouth the other, I often sometimes think that they, perhaps, they are the greater contributory factor to what's going on. You got to leave people with dignity. As, one of my friends, Sheikh Ahmad Babakar, said to me, if people want to separate, they must separate in calmness and in dignity. They must not badmouth, humiliate anyone, And that's the whole point that sometimes we forget,
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical. I think in the end, sometimes out of anger and impulsiveness, you make decisions. But the point is, much later in life, when you're in the twilight years of your life, you look back and you say, my gosh, I could have done something more. I could have been more forgiving. And I've also contributed to it. Because I've learned something, In any situation, once you get one is a perpetrator of something, the other has also contributed to it in some way or the other, So you've got to take some kind of responsibility. So it's important when issues are raised at home that you deal with it. Take it seriously, because you're not talking about a stranger or an acquaintance. It's about your wife or your husband. It's part of the contract, as it were,
Yes. And, like I was mentioning, that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَتَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. You keep them with kindness, or you let them go with ihsan, with kindness, with goodness, and amicably. And that is how divorce is supposed to take place. This mudslinging and all of that finds no place in deen, and it does not behove a believer to mention these issues and to make the opposite party bad in the public eye. That is not the behavior of a believer.
No, absolutely. And the whole thing is this. Mona, I'm just a few minutes away from the home there. So I would just give a last 5 minute input, could I?
Yes.
Yeah, so what I want to say, in the end, we must remember that we are mortal beings, we're going to die, and I pray that all of us die with the iman, even our perceived enemies, everyone, we die with the iman, we think good of other people, and we forgive, and we hope others also forgive us. And it's important for us to look after the institution of marriage, to look after ourselves, and to leave a legacy behind, so that inshallah, that not only we die with iman, but we would have made a difference for the lives of lots of people. And this is an issue that sometimes, we forget, and we think that you're going to live forever. So that's what I've got to say, Maulana.
Okay.
And you take care, make dua for my father's uncle, Allah yes. grant him blessed Jannah, and to all the people that are unwell, Julie Dokrat, Mami, Shehnaz's mother, and Roshni, and everyone else, and all those who passed away, Allah grant highest status in Jannah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. It is by for your time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the marhum maghfirah and Jannah, and pass our condolences to the family as well.
Jazakumullah
khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.